There's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. There's a gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to Queer Voices on KPFT, and this segment is called Queer Music Heritage. I'm J.D. Doyle, and I'm here on the fourth Monday of each month to bring you an hour devoted to our culture's music. I plan to cover a lot of territory in terms of years and types of music. Mostly, I just don't think the gay and lesbian music of the past should be forgotten, and I try to give a little information about the music and artists as I go. I also slip in songs from the present as well. I introduce this segment with the song Gay Spirit by Charlie Murphy, from the 1979 album Walls to Roses. It's one of my favorite gay anthems, and here's just a little more of it.
It's a gay spirit singing in our hearts, leading us through these troubled times. A gay spirit moving round this land, calling us to a time of open love.
Welcome to tonight's show. I've got several new CDs by gay artists to spotlight tonight, and I've got interviews with those artists to go along with it. And I also plan to dig into some queer music history as well. First up, it's an artist I would, I guess, put in the singer-songwriter category, but his writing and performances seem to transcend that simple title. His name is Tom McCormick, and he's released three CDs over the last 10 years. His latest CD is called Running with Light, and before I tell you more about him, let's hear a song from that album. It's titled Called Out of Hiding.
Call me out of hiding. Call me out of hiding. There's a child who's playing, trying not to be found. There's a man who's awaiting his time. There's a woman who's hoping, though there's no one around. Someone in the dark will hear her whisper, I'm asking you to call me out of hiding. Call me out of hiding. And the child's uncertain, he'll find the courage to go, while the woman still listens alone. And the man is awakened, but wonders how he's to know when it's time to push away the stone. To no one he says, call me out of hiding. Call me out of hiding. I'm there in your need to find your way out of this fight, because I share in your freedom as you come into the light. When the moment is right, still doubting, you'll come running, shouting, come out, come out, come out, come out, come out of hiding. Come out of hiding. I'm asking you to call me, call me, call me out of hiding.
I need to be called out of hiding.
You just heard Called Out of Heidi by Tom McCormick from a CD called Running with Light. I was able to interview Tom recently and quiz him about his music. Tom, tell us about your new CD.
Running with Light is a very simple recording. It was purposefully made very bare bones, very intimate, very kind of naked. Some of the songs on there were one-take songs. We're not talking about elaborate production. I think the power of the recording is in its simplicity. A lot of people have commented how deep the recording has affected them, and I was always somewhat taken aback by that or surprised by that because it was so simply produced. But I guess that just means that it doesn't have to be a big production in order to have an impact.
And how would you describe your musical style?
My musical style on this CD is, it's kind of, you know, singer-songwriter, pop, spiritual. I wouldn't call it contemporary Christian, but it definitely has strong spiritual elements in it. The recording was originally produced in conjunction with a spirituality workshop at which I was performing, and I wanted to have some kind of release available at the workshop so that my music could, you know, get out there.
In addition to Tom's music, he's made some other contributions as well. In 1995, he and Michael Mitchell co-founded the Gay and Lesbian American Music Awards, the GLAMAs. I first met Tom in 1999 at the third annual awards in New York City, where I was honored to have been asked to be a judge. For several years, the GLAMA organization provided wonderful exposure and recognition to our artists. Another organization that Tom was involved with was Out Music, and he mentioned that when he answered my next question. Tom, is it important for you to be out as an artist?
I first discovered Out Music in 94. It was right around the time of my releasing Rose Colored Glasses. And I'll never forget, I met Patrick Arena there, and I made the comment to him of, why would anybody want to be out as an aspiring recording artist? To me, it just seemed a ludicrous and foolish idea. And I made the comment to Patrick of, you know, I want to succeed. And Patrick just laughed. He just laughed at me. And I thank him for that. And he said, well, so do I. And he said, as far as I'm concerned, it's too late to go back. And I think starting then, you know, gradually it really took hold in me that this was an important aspect of my identity, of who I was as a person and as an artist. And to not incorporate that into my creative life was, you know, probably creative suicide. You know, it's also important for other reasons, you know, personally, politically, but as a creative person, to not be out, in my professional life, in my creative life, is just the same as putting a dam and blocking all of that creative flow.
Of what song that you've written are you the most proud?
I think the songs that I'm most proud of are probably the ones that I actually feel I have the least claim on creatively. There are some songs that have just kind of written themselves, that were just sort of gifts that just came from somewhere. One song in particular that this applies to is called Everything, which is on Running With Light. The song Everything came out of an experience that I had. This was long before I was accepting the fact that I was gay. I had gone to this party and found myself just incredibly attracted to this man. And I came home from that not knowing what to do with this feeling, feeling very frightened, but also at the same time excited. And I basically started praying, and I just said, I don't want to run from this. Whatever this is, it's too big to run from. And give me the courage to just sort of face this, to understand this. And I sat down at the piano, and I just started playing and singing what was in my heart. And that song, Everything, came out start to finish. I never went back and rewrote anything. I just started singing it, and I wrote it down immediately after, and it never changed after that. And I've often thought of it as my theme song, because it so closely speaks to the heart of who I am and my journey and my yearning.
You asked me to come home. I thought it would be easy. I traveled for a day, a month, a year. Somehow a lifetime went by. Footsteps forward, were they toward you? Yes, I saw you vaguely. At first not realizing. I asked you what to say. I thought it would be easy. I guess I spoke too fast, too much, too soon. Sometimes I'm too quick with words. Tell me words that you'd prefer. Yes, I heard you, silence. In the cold dark of morning. And I'll give everything I have. I said, not knowing what it meant. I'll give everything I have. I said so confidently. Could not find my way, I thought it would be easy. I could not see far enough to know if I still knew right from wrong. Memories of you not enough. Yes, I loved you, can I still sing you a love song? Confidently, I'll give everything I have. I said, not knowing what it meant. I'll give everything I have. I said, so confidently. Asked me to come home. I thought it would be easy. I traveled for a day, a month, a year. Somehow a lifetime went by. Footsteps forward, were they toward you? Yes, I saw you.
That was the song called Everything. Another contribution Tom has been making is a series of programs he's been giving at colleges where he gets to use his music to educate the audiences about gay issues. The presentation is called Hate Speech and Love Songs, and he describes it this way.
Hate Speech and Love Songs is a program that I do at colleges across the country, and it's been an amazingly rewarding experience. It deals with my own experience as a gay man, my coming out, my growing up. I don't speak as a victim. I don't speak as an expert. I just simply speak from my own experience, and I use music as sort of chapter headings or jumping off points. Music has a way of getting to the heart of people, I think, more quickly than the spoken word. So the two of them together, I think, are very effective. I've performed it at state schools. I've performed it at, you know, tiny little, you know, religious private schools. And I'm always impressed by and surprised by its impact. And I'm grateful for that.
One of the songs he's written for those presentations is called Stigmata. I think it's a very powerful song. Thomas told me that it was written after Matthew Shepard's murder, and that while it wasn't written about that experience, his death certainly had an impact on the song's writing. It's never been released as a recording, but Tom has given me a copy of it along with permission to air it on this show. So I guess this is probably the world radio premiere of the song, and I thank Tom for that. Here is Stigmata.
Young man praying, in his mind he's saying, oh my God, they're killing me. Is it fear or anger that makes them hate with such strength? First make them stop and give them eyes to see. Is it love they fear, love that angers? Is my love not clear? Does it make you run away to grab your guns, grab your bats and chains? First make them stop, 'cause he bleeds from his hands, from his side. He's bleeding all over. And on the inside, this is about, will you not believe until you touch my hands, feel my side, touch the blood, taste what's coming, or are you still afraid you'll be stigmatized? Is it love you fear, love that angers? Is my love so clear it makes you run away? Is it love you fear, love that anger so queer it makes you run to grab your children, your holy Bible, your need for safety it leaves you idle? You tell me that your heart is breaking, your eyes are crying, your hands are shaking. Then why do you stand in silence and gaze in horror at the violence you watch? Just watch, just watch.
me. Better them, better them than 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 me. Young man praying, in his mind he's saying, killing me.
This is Tom McCormick, and you're listening to Queer Music Heritage on KPFT in Houston.
Also, be sure to listen to After Hours with Jimmy Carper every Saturday night at midnight on KPFT. It's queer radio with attitude. And this is a good time to mention that since there are often many obscurities heard on this show, I thought those of you on the internet would like to be able to see photos of the artists and recordings and view the playlist. You can do that at www.queermusicheritage.com. Okay, for the next 2 minutes, you're going to hear a comedy song about being gay in a very out-of-the-way place. It's called Eskimo, and it's by a group with an equally odd name, Corky and the Juice Pigs. It's from their self-titled cassette tape from 1994.
I'm the only gay Eskimo. I'm the only one I know. I'm the only gay Eskimo in my tribe. I go out seal hunting with my best friend Targa, but all I wanna do is get into his parka. I'm the only gay Eskimo in my tribe. Well, me and Nuckfluckchuckbuck, we both like lumber, but me, I've got this crazy fetish for rubber. I'm the only gay Eskimo in my tribe. I make a wish on the northern lights that I could find a decent pair of whales and tights. I'm the only gay Eskimo in my tribe.
And the seals, they sing now.
These girlfriends are nice, I'm taking their toll. I even get excited when I see the North Pole. See the North Pole. I'm the only gay Eskimo.
Only gay Eskimo.
I'm the only one I know.
I'm the only one I know.
In my tribe.
Next up is a brand new CD by one of my favorite artists, Mark Weigel. Mark released his first CD called The Truth Is in 1998, and it immediately became what I consider to be one of the essential CDs in anyone's collection of queer music. Mark has the ability to write wonderful, openly gay lyrics that just speak to our hearts, and to surround those lyrics with his folk country style that make them memorable. His follow-up CD in 2000 was called All That Matters, and it was equally masterful. I'm also honored that over the last few years, Mark and I have become good friends, which makes following his career even more satisfying. So I've been waiting with anticipation for his latest release, and to say the least, I'm not disappointed. I've got one of the first copies of it, and Mark also sent along some recorded comments on the songs. He knows me well enough that I would immediately be bugging him for comments if he didn't provide them. The new CD is called Out of the Loop, and here's Mark telling us about the song, Have I Told You in the Last 5 Minutes?
Well, in the last 5 minutes is about, you know, that when you're in a relationship and you're just all googly for each other and you're like, you know, making everybody sick around you by going, oh, I love you all the time, and you're just busting out with it. So that's what it's about.
We're sitting at the kitchen table, hands round coffee cups. I'm watching while he reads his paper. Finally he looks up. He says, what? Have I told you in the last 5 minutes that I love you? I just wanted you to know, and it's been on my mind. Have
Have I told you in the last 5 minutes that I love you? Boy, I never want to let too much time go by. A little love later, he's late, he's got to go. He's barely out the door and it's ringing. I pick up the phone, I say hello. Have I told you in the last 5 minutes that I love you? I just wanted you to know it, it's been on my mind. Have I told you in the last 5 minutes that I love you? You know I never want to let too much time go by. Now if you think we've lost our minds, well, you hit it right on the head. So crazy in love with each other, we just can't leave it unsaid. Have I told you in the last 5 minutes that I love you? I just wanted you to know what it's been on my mind. Have I told you in the last 5 minutes that I love you? No, I never want to let too much time go by.
Well, Cody is just kind of a romantic teen fantasy set in a Western motif, I guess my first of that genre. But it's just the story of two high school age guys who get together, find each other out in this small town in the West and fall in love. Ain't that nice?
Cody was born here, and Cody, at first I thought that was his parents' idea of funny. But they love this town like they love him. It took me a long time to understand. 'Cause me, I was born in Seattle, grew up in some suburbs in what my parents told me were homes. But I wasn't home till my 10th grade year, when we moved to Wyoming and I found Cody here. Cody's got black hair and blue eyes. The first time I saw him I knew that no one had ever looked into those eyes and seen. His dad, those blue eyes and a big black mustache. Cody's got black hair and blue eyes. The first time I saw him I knew that no one had ever looked into those eyes and seen. Thank you.
Those two songs were called Have I Told You in the Last 5 Minutes and Cody. On Mark's new album, he did something that I think is really special. But to tell you about it, I have to give you some background. In 1974, an artist named Stephen Grossman released the first openly gay album on a major label. The album was called Caravan Tonight, and it was on the Mercury label. By far my favorite song on that album was called Out, and I've played it often on this show. Unfortunately, this album was Grossman's only release, and he died of AIDS in 1994. What Mark Weigel did that I think is really neat is that on his new CD, he features a duet on the song Out using Stephen Grossman's recording of it. I think it's a wonderful way to pay tribute to one of our pioneers. Here's Mark's comments on that song.
Well, doing the song Out is sort of one of those things in my career that keeps me satisfied when it's all said and done. I'm 80, I can look back and go, you know, that was really cool. My story with that song, when I was like 20 and just coming out myself, not out to my parents yet, my first ever lover had this song on a cassette and there was no label on it. He didn't know who it was. And it was, you know, I was already into singer-songwriters, Fogelberg and Lightfoot and all these guys. And here was this great singer and this great, well-written song. And it was speaking exactly to where I was at in my life right then about coming out. And I was just blown away. I mean, it was a really important song for me. And then years later, I was writing songs myself, and I met Blackberry, himself a gay musical pioneer. And the first night we hung out together, he said, oh, have you heard Stephen Grossman? And I said, no. And he put this LP on, and I was just floored that that was the song. And it was called Out, and it was by Stephen Grossman. And Stephen was on Mercury Records in 1975 doing this incredibly out, lyrically out gay music. So he's definitely a pioneer, and I've had a chance since to meet his partner of many years before he died. Stephen died in 1994. So it's a real honor to do this song, and I think a lot of folks that knew his music will be, you know, hopefully pleased to hear this.
Mom, hey mom, I've something important to say. I know you didn't plan for me turning out this way, but you didn't fail me, mom, and I don't love you any less. 'Cause for me it's just a matter of what suits me best, yeah. It's hard for you to take. It's nothing you wouldn't brag when your firstborn turns out to be. Papa, oh Papa, did I spoil your dreams? I know you wanted to see me marching in the That won't prove my manhood, as it didn't prove yours. 'Cause I went to talk to that landlord while you stood behind the door with her, calling me crazy. But I think it's out of fear, 'cause you're not so sure.
Really? that you want.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with being, you know, it's okay. Nothing wrong with being gay.
That was Mark Weigel and Stephen Grossman singing the song Out from Mark Weigel's new CD called Out of the Loop. Now, I mentioned that Grossman died in 1994. A few months before his death, some of his friends helped him record about a dozen songs, and these songs have never been released. They were recorded with just bare acoustic tracks, and the intent was to take the tracks into the studio and add fuller arrangements to them so that an album could be produced. This was done with about four of the tracks, and then the project lost steam and financing. Richard Dworkin is one of the people working on that project. Some of you may recognize his name, especially if you read album credits, as he's played drums for Doug Stevens in the Out Band and the Alex Chilton Band, and has been a session artist for a large number of other releases. And he was also Michael Callan's lover, and he produced the posthumous album of Michael's work called Legacy. Richard Dworkin and Stephen Grossman were roommates in San Francisco. My point in this explanation is that I owe a big thanks to Richard Dworkin and Mark Weigel for the next song you'll hear, since Mark arranged for Richard to send the song to me so that it could be played on this show. The song's one of Stephen Grossman's tracks from 1993, and it's never been played on the radio before anywhere. Here is Stephen Grossman singing his song called Steps.
It started at the office, proceeded to the gym. Everybody asking, where's that redhead boy been? Some of us were wondering, could this be the big day? All of us were hoping that he wouldn't stay away. Now what good is the office? Why bother with the gym? If you can't concentrate and you keep getting thin, what good is the air if you can't catch your breath? What good is a pillow if you can't get your rest? Step, step, look at all we have got. Step, step, will we make it to the top? Oh, well, step, step, one at a time. Step, step, it's a mighty hard climb. Now Mitzi doesn't speak and she doesn't get tense. With limited knowledge and infinite sense, she waits on her dinner and welcomes a leash, and somehow know that this dog do capiche. And Red isn't fearless, he just takes it in stride. He surely isn't careless with matters of pride. He dreams of Australia in his mechanical chair, of grabbing his lover and taking him there. Step, step, look at all we have got. Step, step, will we make it to the top? Oh, well, step, step, one at a time. Step, step, it's a mighty hard climb. Well, gravity will pull you and moods, they will shift. A friend with compassion is always a gift. A cure is for the moment and always on my mind. When miracles are tardy and nature is blind, well, the office is for earning and working what you know. The gym is for the body and watching it grow. Forever is elusive and happens today. Death is made for living and just a step away. Step, step, look at all we have got. Step, step, we make it to the top. Oh, a step, step, when you step through the stars,
I'll be watching the sky just to see where you are.
Again, that was an unreleased recording by Stephen Grossman called Steps. Up next is a group from Philadelphia that bring power pop to queer music. The name of the group is The Bootlickers, and you'll find out how they picked their name in a few minutes. The group is comprised of vocalist John McNeil and Ed LeBlanc, guitarist Paul Sinclair, and drummer June Bromley. Their first release came out in 1998 and was called Universal Nancy. But first, let's hear a song from their new CD. That CD is called Huge, and the song is called Love Comes Back. That was The Bootlickers singing Love Comes Back. I recently interviewed the group, and Ed answered the first few questions, starting with an introduction of the group.
John McNeil is the lead guy. He sings lead vocals, plays guitar, does the keyboards and strings on the album, and also is responsible for all the writing that was done on the album. Paul Sinclair plays rhythm guitar, does backup vocals. June Bromley is our drummer and the person in charge of glamour. Always need one of those. And myself, Ed LeBlanc, I play bass and sing background vocals as well.
How would you describe your style?
Well, I guess basically we're catchy pop rock. Yeah, we're kind of whores for a good hook. The Philadelphia Weekly had a quote about us, and they said that anyone who thinks gay music is just about rehashed disco and granola rock need only listen to the Bootlickers. And then another paper said that if we were a cocktail mix, we'd probably be one part Go-Go's, two parts the Beatles, and a dash of Dollywood.
Are you full-time musicians, or do you juggle other careers?
Well, until we sell our first million CDs, of course, we're going to have to work at doing something. We've got the run-of-the-mill kind of jobs. You know, one of us strips, the other fluffs. We have two supermodels in the group. So, you know, until you all buy our CD out there, we're saddled with these terrible jobs.
Okay. John McNeil fielded the next couple of questions. Is it important for you to be out?
Well, it's important for us to be ourselves. And what we are three gay males and a transgendered male to female. And we don't hide that. We go out and we play to a mixed crowd, and everybody seems to love the music and have no problem with it.
Well, a lot of people are going to be curious as to how you came up with the name Bootlickers. Can you tell us about that?
When we first started, we basically just got together and played. We didn't have much of an intention of becoming a group. We had a friend who was organizing a gay music festival called Queerstock, and we were asked to perform. He knew that we used to get together and jam, and he said, you guys should play. So here we were. We weren't even a band with no name, and we had to perform. And the performance was coming up in less than a week. So we'd gone to a local bar, and we're seeing another gay band, this band called Size Queen, who were fantastic. So here we are at the bar, seeing this great band, having a few drinks, some cocktails, you know, whatever. People are buying us drinks, you know. We're sort of like bar floozies, having a great time, you know, networking, just, you know, sucking up the sounds. And we come across the local Philadelphia, you know, weekly that's sitting there. And there was a feature article in personal ads. Well, on the front page, there's a big personal ad. And in big, huge letters, it says, looking for an ass-kicking, boot-licking, blah, blah, blah. Well, I think we all saw it at the same time. And we just started cracking up. Like, we were kind of looped, having a great time. And the moment was right. We had to play in less than a week. We were under pressure. And we were all, that's it. That's the name, Bootlickers. So we played the gig. And we thought we'd keep it just for that one gig. Well, the gig went well. We got more shows from it. And we didn't really take the time to change the name. And then people started remembering it. And it kind of snowballed.
Okay, I mentioned that the Bootlickers had a CD in 1998. And it was called Universal Nancy. That was a CD I liked right away. So I can't pass up this opportunity to play my favorite song from that album, which was called Sure of You, and to ask John to tell us about how he wrote that song.
When I was growing up, my favorite character in books in the world were Winnie the Pooh. I loved Pooh. And I had a favorite quote from Pooh from when I was quite young. When I got older, I started reading more mature literature, though no more important than Pooh. One of the things I started reading was this series by Armistead Maupin, The Tales of the City, which are just fantastic. And I was mesmerized by them. And loved them, loved all the characters. Couldn't put them down. And I remember getting to the last book. It was called Sure of You. And instantly, it kind of triggered my favorite Pooh quote. Well, I opened up the book, disappointed yet excited to read it because it was the last book in the series. And I look inside, and right there is the source of inspiration for the title of the book. And don't you know, it's from The House at Pooh Corner by A.A. Milne. And it's my favorite quote from childhood. Piglet sidled up to Pooh from behind. "Pooh," he whispered. "Yes, Piglet?" "Nothing," said Piglet, taking Pooh's paw. "I just wanted to be sure of you." And it's just the greatest quote. It's just it's so beautiful. And I read the book, and the book was beautiful. And I had to just write a song. So I wrote a song, and I had to make it a really loving, beautiful song. And fun. I came up with Sure of You. It's written about a boyfriend. I didn't have one at the time. So it's written about an idealized kind of boyfriend. There's a lot of joy and happiness and just love in it. And it's a little campy at times. And it goes over really well live. People love it. They jump around. They sing to it. And people always come up and quote a certain part of the song. Always. Always. And I think they probably always will. Let's see, it goes... part goes a little something like this.
You're like a winter without the flow. You're the best exhibit in the boyfriend zoo. And a hearty boy's mystery, you're the greatest clue. I've always been partial to Nancy Drew. Nancy boy, Nancy boy, Nancy Drew. Nancy boy, Nancy boy, Nancy Drew. Nancy boy, Nancy boy, Nancy Drew.
Nancy boy, Nancy boy, Nancy Drew. I just wanted to be sure of you.
I guess it's a song that makes people happy. It's kind of nice to have a song that makes people happy.
That was real nice. Thanks. Now let's hear the whole song.
Have I just twisted reality? Or have my dreams come true? Do you really want to be with me as much as I want to be with you? Just always be there to love me,
love me.
And always be there to
hold me.
Yeah, always be there to touch me.
Touch me, touch me.
I just want me to be sure
me
of you. I look at you and I come home at night, and I wonder what I did so right. You know you're such an inspiration. I'm in for life without probation. Just always be there to love me,
love me.
And always be there to hold me.
Hold me.
Yeah, always be there to touch me. I just
touch
want
me
to be sure of you.
I just wanted to be sure of you. I want to be a part of all you do. I just wanted to be sure of you. I want to be a part of all you do. Without the flu, you're the best exhibit in the boyfriend zoo. In a Hardy Boys mystery, you're the greatest clue. Though I've always been partial to Nancy Drew.
Nancy boy, Nancy boy, Nancy Drew. Nancy boy, Nancy boy, Nancy Drew. Nancy boy, Nancy boy, Nancy Drew.
I just wanted to be sure of you.
I just wanted to be sure of you. I want to be a part of all you do. I just wanted to be sure of you. I want to be a part of all you do.
I want to be with
you. I want to be a part of all you do.
I just wanted to be sure of you.
Hi, we're the Bootlickers, and you're listening to
Queer Music Heritage
on KPFT in Houston.
That was from the Bootlickers album, Universal Nancy, and was called Sure of You. And I want to thank them for the really neat show ID they did for me. I'll be using that again. I'm going to bring things back to the present and play one more song from their new release to close out the show. But before I do, I want to thank you all for tuning in. And I want to thank Tom McCormick, Mark Weigel, and the Bootlickers for their interview comments. If you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write to me at qmheritage@aol.com. This is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT in Houston, and I'll be back on the fourth Monday of next month with another installment of Queer Music Heritage. So as promised, from their CD called Huge, the new album by the Bootlickers, here is a song by them called Hope.